Welcome to Eye to Nye, a podcast where two men discuss their opinions and sometimes agree and sometimes disagree. We agree to see eye to eye regardless of whether that's in agreement or not. Your hosts here today are Vlad, myself, and
Joey. And again, this is just our opinions, so please don't take it literally. Freak out and send me tweets or Instagram DMs or any of that, okay? Or Facebook Messenger if you're 50 and up. You know, don't freak out, okay? Because we're just talking here.
Hey guys, welcome to the last episode of season one of Eye to Nye. We made it, folks.
We made it. Made that. God damn it. We crossed that finish line. We're here. First season, 10 episodes. Didn't stop once. We didn't get discouraged. You know, we hit some good numbers, right? I'm proud of ourselves.
Yeah, in the words of the immortal DJ Khaled, another one.
And another one. And what does he do? I just like read it like a big thing where he's like, he's not a producer, not really a rapper. He's almost like a Flavor Flav of today. Like, he's just like a pump-up guy.
Yeah.
But I always thought, like, back in the day, he was like a... He produced all these, like, crazy tracks, you know?
So
like,
he started off as a DJ for, I think it was one of the Miami radio stations. So he does have musical skill. Like,
yeah.
It didn't just... You know, he didn't just jump on the scene somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think what he does now, because I saw like a YouTube clip of it, he considers himself like an organizer or something. Like, he's not creating the beats, but he's, I guess,
I know the word.
What is it? Like a tastemaker.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he just, maybe that's what, I don't even know if that's what it is.
He's a tastemaker. So he's like, hey, you should try doing like, a little bit more of this and less than that. He's like, he's not the chef, but he tells you if you need more salt.
He's like a consultant.
Yeah. He's a hip hop consultant.
And then he just gets on stage or on the mic and it's just like, yeah, boy.
Exactly.
Whatever. Either way, he's a fucking multimillionaire. Good for him. I don't give a fuck. Oops. Oh, guys, that's a perfect segue into my next thing. So I've gotten some, I wouldn't say complaints from many people, from my mother who listens to this podcast, God bless her soul. She absolutely hates how much I curse on the mic. She thinks it's a low sign of intelligence. She just doesn't dig it. So, for this episode, for our finale, we are actually going to do a little thing, I guess that you could call it a promotion, where if I slip up, if I curse, however many times I curse in this episode, because it's born in me. I'm a child of divorced parents, okay? I'm also late all the time. However many times I curse, you count them up, you get them right, because we have a very studious production staff. I mean, they are on the ball. They will count them. They will get it right. Whoever guesses it or gets as close as the number is, they will win free merch. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to just be cursing to curse now, so to make it a game. I'm literally just going to cuss because that's just how it's my nature. So anyway, just be on the lookout for that, guys. Be a little fun little thing.
Count it and win.
Yeah, man. It'll be like Plinko, you know? It'll be like some Price is Right shit. Oh, see?
There you go.
There's one. Well, I actually cussed before that, so that might be a trick. So yeah. You need to listen in at that. You never know. Well, actually, you know, I've been complaining a lot on this podcast about being bored. I don't have a job. I'm ganz bored. I'm playing video games all day. Well, guess what? I do have a job now. I'm still in school, so it's kind of like it's pretty much like a construction job. I work for this estate, and I actually got hooked up by a good friend who's helping me out. He works for that place, like that's his gig, and he's a retired guy. So right now I'm doing like drywall
repair. Nice.
And it is a pain in my ace. Let me tell you, it looks so easy. You know, my dad not grew up but he had his own business doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And he was in sales for an architectural consultant company. It's hard, man. It looks so, it could be really easy if you know what you're doing, but
yeah,
just like making the proper cuts, cutting out the right stuff, just knowing what you're doing, it's a pain in the ass. It's hard, dude. It's way harder than the job I was doing. So now I'm like, you know, It's brutal. Like, I wish I was just playing video games now, you know? Like, MLB The Show was amazing. I haven't played it in, like, 3 days. So, are you in that? Because it's like, I literally had to YouTube some stuff. And
like, oh, man, YouTube is the key. Like, any sort of home improvement thing, you know, my first go-to is YouTube. Because you're going to see everybody who had, like, the same model number or, like, serial number. And it's like...
Everything is on there.
Oh, yeah. It's the power of the internet, dude. Like, any information you want, you can find it on YouTube. And it's like, you don't have to, you know, go check out a book or like take a training course. It's like, okay, how do I replace the ceiling fan in the next 15 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, it's super quick to the point. That's my like first stop anytime I'm doing something around the house. But you're totally right, man. It's like it gets involved because there's doing it and there's doing it right. You know, and doing it right is like you got to go the extra mile and shit.
Especially when you have your own house, because you have your own house. So yeah. It's like you have to do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, shit always goes wrong. Like, so when I was in college, right, I got a beater car, like $900, pop-up headlights, and that was like my first experience, you know, figuring out like, how do I change a tire? How do I like repair this thing in the car? Man, like, let me tell you, even now, sometimes I'll do like change the brake pads or like, you know, that kind of stuff. Some kind of like just the smallest little detail is like, oh, this thing won't go back in. Like, you've done all the hard, complicated shit. You've done like 99% of the job. And there's
that one thing doesn't fit.
Yes.
And you're like, you motherfucker.
And that's the thing that takes like hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. So I'm right there with you, bro. Like it's
all about like setting, like what I've learned from doing this for like a couple weeks is obviously we've heard the whole thing, like measure twice, cut once, whatever.
Yeah.
That's like fine and dandy until you're doing it and you mm-hmm. think you've got the right cut. But it's like, you think you've got the right cut. So it's like, I'm only going to cut it once, but then you put it in the wall because you know, it's just like, and drywall and sheetrock is so, like, if you don't cut it right, it's so brittle. It's mm-hmm. almost like you're in a dream. You know, like in a dream, you can't do anything. Like,
yeah.
You're trying to take a picture or call someone, it's just like a fumbling mess.
Mm-hmm.
That's how drywall is. Like, if you just, like, touch one corner wrong, it's like, poof! Just breaks off. But I'm actually enjoying it. The guy I'm working for is like really amazing. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So pretty interesting, like, to learn from him. But you know, there's some frustration setting in with him, I think, because it's like me and it's his son and me doing it, but his son is like 17.
Oh yeah.
And he's a great kid. He's very smart, but it's like, it's just kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then we're just like thrown into this like little garage that we're fixing.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting though.
I mean, the flip side too is like, now, you know, you're going to build those skills. You're going to know how to do all that shit.
Yeah. I love that too. I mean, I think everyone should know a little bit about that, oh, right? Yeah. Like, because I feel like the job I came from, I was like really confident going in. I was like, oh, this is like tools, it's cutting shit, it's I'm gonna be familiar. Totally different, dude.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the stuff I did was just, it was the same thing over and over and over every day. It was the same shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely a different ball game.
And I mean, that's the thing, right? When you have your own business, like, it's something where, you know, like for this guy, right, like you always have to satisfy the customer. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's your boss.
Oh yeah.
You know,
they know better too. Oh, it's not like you can cheat your way through repairing drywall.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to happen. But it's not even the drywall. It's like, then we're going to put weatherproof paneling up. So it's the drywall, do the mud, like fill all the gaps. We had to take all the trim off, all the door framing.
Oh, man.
Stuff. Oh, yeah.
That's a masterclass.
Yeah, baby. For my first gig ever. So it's pretty rough. I mean, the head dude is like taking care of a lot of the, I think, the tougher stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's like so easy to him. But to me, I'm like, holy Christ. Like, what am I doing?
So I'm curious. Have you ever thought about starting your own business? Like, I know there's guys on YouTube who, you know, they do like a power wash thing, or
that's a big thing right now.
Yeah.
Like the power washing. Get the machine. That's
yeah.
like the only investment.
It's yeah.
the machine.
Exactly.
Which could be expensive, like $1,000 maybe.
You know, actually, more. So I was looking at this last night, actually. So when you go to the hardware stores, right, like Home Depot and Lowe's, they have a rental tool, right?
Yeah.
So what they do after a certain point is they sell those used tools, you know, because they maintain it, all that stuff. So you can get it for, like, maybe not dirt cheap, but you can get it for, like, a discount
rate. Way off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. It was almost like back in the day at Blockbuster, you could rent, like, a console. Do you remember that? That was crazy. They were in this big, like, suitcase that were, like, hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
It was weird. I was like, who the fuck is renting a PS, one. Like, let's go get it. It's probably expensive as hell.
I mean, just imagine the late fees.
Hell is not a curse word, people. Hell is not a curse word. That does not count.
But just imagine the late fees on a console. Like,
yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. With, like, especially the DVDs and, like, VHSs. Yeah. They were, like, $5 a day or something.
That was insane.
What a racket.
Yeah. And then they released the soundtrack to all the, like, Command of Conquerors.
Yeah.
I had, like, my little burn CD of, like, the soundtrack.
No way.
Yeah.
I remember I had the Blade 2 soundtrack.
Oh, man.
That was a hell of a soundtrack. Let me tell you. Some great, like, Crystal Method.
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of techno. Oh, my God.
So that's, like, I feel like that's an underappreciated time in music.
Oh, my God. It was great.
Just, like, that crossover of, like, techno, rock, like...
It, like, came from Europe, we know.
Yeah.
But then, like, the movies in America made techno cool. The Matrix, Blade, Blade 2, I think even Blade Trinity, people.
Yeah.
Don't give up on Blade Trinity. It's not great, but it's okay. You still got... You got Wesley Snipes kicking ass.
Yeah.
But Blade 1, I think Blade 2 is my favorite. Probably Blade 1. But yeah, that music was, and the Mortal Kombat soundtrack. I watched so much wrestling when I was a kid, like it was called the WWF, but then the World Wildlife Foundation canceled them. But those soundtracks were badass. Like the theme songs, it was cool. Were you a wrestling dude?
Nah, wasn't. No. Because the thing is, like, I just could never get into it.
Yeah. You know? I respect that. That's fine. I was, like, really big into it. I was at a point where, like, I couldn't watch WWF. I had to watch WCW because it was, like, a little more tame.
Wow. Yeah,
so I was like, okay, cool. But then I got to watch WWF. I was like, oh, my God. This is nuts.
You were
I had the shirts. I had everything. I had the action. I had the wrestling ring and, like, the wrestlers.
Yeah.
And stuff. I was way... Way into it.
You were on the OG wrestling bus.
Yes, absolutely. I used to get, like, the tapes from Blockbuster and stuff.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, the Bash at the Beach.
Like
Star... Star... Was it Starfest or Star Match or... Starcade.
Starcade. Okay.
Oh, my God. Don't worry, Vlad. Next week, I'm going to bring all the wrestling videos here.
Can you smell?
Dude, I mean, a bunch of big stars come. I mean, you got Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Did a bunch of movies in the 80s. You got The Rock. Obviously, The Rock's probably the biggest. You got John Cena.
Undertaker. Goldberg.
See, you know your... what are you talking about here? You know Goldberg?
I never watched it, but I know some of the people.
Goldberg was weird because he just came out of nowhere and they were like, he's 182 and oh in wrestling. And you're like, I've never seen him before. But he was such a great character because he was just like this big jack dude.
Yeah.
Just killing everybody. So you're like, oh my God, Goldberg. So, but yeah, it was just like... You know, their, like, storylines were, like, outrageous looking back, but
yeah.
it was crazy.
Those guys have diversified since then, too, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, The Rock.
You have to.
Yeah, because The Rock is, like, pretty much in every movie. I think Stone Cold.
He's Arnold Schwarzenegger times 10.
Yeah.
In terms of money he's made. And,
oh, yeah. Because,
you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger ran that shit in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So, but The Rock is literally, anything he's in is just, like, a...
It blows
whether
up.
Whether I like it or not, it's, like... grossing tons of money.
So, yeah.
And good for him. I think The Rock.
I think Stone Cold 2 has his own alcohol. I don't know if it's
it's like a beer, right? Or something? Or like a cider?
I think so.
Yeah.
He's got something, yeah.
But yeah, John Cena's been in all those like ridiculous action movies. The Corvette that was a cop car back in the day. Do you remember that one? He's like a cop in like Montana or something.
What?
Yeah. But his cop car was a Corvette. It was just like, oh my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Did you see him, like, he had to apologize because he said
was
Taiwan is a country.
Yeah.
He got on there and apologized, and he spoke Mandarin.
So I heard this interesting story about him. So he was doing something, like, I don't know if he was visiting China or, like, you know, had to work with, you know, someone from, like, the Chinese government or something as, like, a publicity thing. But he actually, like... studied, like, hardcore, opened the books, like, he knows his Mandarin, like, I don't want to say fluently, because I don't know if he's fluent, but, like, damn good.
Yeah,
you know,
good enough he could probably live
in
China. But it was just kind of creepy, like, the power they have, because, you know, like, that movie would probably bomb here, but in China, they're gonna pay big bucks for that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, another form of, like, him getting his balls twisted a little and being like, no, motherfucker, you need to, like, apologize for that. For just saying a country's free. That's not real. It's really weird to see him do that. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, there's been a ton of not so good movies out.
Yeah, I mean
nothing like very like interesting.
I mean, there's certainly not a lot of classics like No Country for Old Men.
There we go.
Yeah.
But like 2019, was that when Parasite came out? I think that was Parasite.
I think so.
That was a great year for movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that there was some like bangers that came out.
Yeah.
So obviously right before COVID and shit changed. But actually AMC and all of them, they're like getting butts back in the seats. They're like actually like putting on like sports games and stuff. So you can go in there and like watch your like whatever, like a team play. So it's not just movies, which is smart, trying to get people back in there.
All those people in what is it, Super Stonk on Reddit?
The
apes, they're holding.
Yeah, they are.
Holding AMC.
That's the one now. It's like it's back to AMC and actually I don't think it's AMC. I think it's back to GameStop.
GameStop. Now. Diamond Hands, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I bought some AMC stock. Maybe like $700 worth, and it jumped to like $1,500 in like a week, and I was like, "Holy shit!" And then I just held and held. Now it's down. Like,
keep holding, baby. Damn keep it. Holding.
I don't know if I can, man. I need that $500.
Diamond hands.
I don't need.
Come
it.
On.
Yeah, dude. The stock market's fucked up. It's weird. I'm just not.
Man, you want
to
talk
you
about?
You got to be a millionaire to make that stuff work.
For you want to talk about a conspiracy? I mean,
I love it. Let me hear it.
Look, when you look at the actions that Citadel and Robinhood have taken, and then look at the SEC's response, like you can't tell me
blind eye.
You can't tell me the game isn't rigged.
No, it's rigged.
Like, I mean, come on. These like there's a book called Flash Boys, and it's about a group of people on Wall Street who created their own exchange. Read that book, and it's another.
I think I've heard of that.
I don't know if it made it to a movie. I can't remember if it has or hasn't. But the book itself, like, even if you just read the book, it's, like, all the shit with, like, front running and, like, the high-frequency trading firms. And it's just, like, where is the SEC?
I think that's, like, the whole issue right now with crypto.
Mm-hmm.
It's finally coming to a head. I mean, there's a big reckoning coming with that.
Oh, yeah.
Shit's sliding downhill quick.
Mm-hmm.
Even Bitcoin has been taking dumps on, and you got Elizabeth Warren who's coming out saying like, you guys got 6 months to the SEC to figure this out. I'm like, okay, Elizabeth Warren, whatever. But it's still kind of creepy that it's like, you know, there's a lot of people against what crypto is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy. And you know that John McAfee was getting hooked for tax evasion, but it was through crypto.
Oh.
So it's like, it's still something you think that man who's crazy as batshit would be able to handle.
Yeah.
You know, a little tax evasion thing, but who knows? I mean,
the thing with crypto and the U.S. government that is really strange to me is, you know, initially it came out, right? And the Fed's like, oh, this is just a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's nothing serious. Like, it doesn't really matter. And then, you know, the crypto folks are like, look, we are creating this system of banking that's not controlled by government, right? This is decentralized.
And not trackable.
Exactly. And so, you know, over time, right, then the federal government was like, oh, actually, we're now going to start, you know, regulating this. So a lot of the exchanges have this KYC, know your customer,
mm-hmm.
where you have to provide like your driver's license or your passport. Like they want to know who's buying and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to report that shit now on your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, it's the usual arguments, right? Like we don't want to fund terrorism and we don't want the drug lords to use this, you know. But to me, it's just funny to see like how initially it was a joke to them, and now it's like, oh, the
usual. Well, because you got regular people making money hand over fist. That started during the Biden shit, too,
because
he was the one who was like, fuck this. But like, it's true, though, because, I mean, you had people making tons of money, regular people who, say, bought into Bitcoin in 2012 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then banking out like millionaires, you know. So yeah, it's kind of weird. But the whole argument though with like the government like being like, this is what drug cartel, motherfucker, drug cartels were using big banks too.
Yeah,
and you guys did nothing to them after they got caught. So it's like, I feel like that's just a bunch of bullshit what they're trying to do with the whole like blame it on cartels and terrorist groups, you know. It's like they find a way no matter what.
I mean, I can guarantee you that like there are both rich and powerful people as well as cartels who have corporations that are getting money from like Deutsche Bank and all this shit.
Oh, dude, easy. Like, yeah.
It's just, I feel like
it's an excuse for them.
Yeah, because the average guy, right, is like, you can only do so much, right? Like, you don't have deep pockets to like, okay, I'm going to pull my like $12.3 billion out of this bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's much easier to go after people who aren't going to be able to fight the system.
Right.
You know? So before we get to our next segment, listeners, I know you've been waiting. We got new merch.
Yeah.
Coming in hot. New merch alert.
Oh, yeah, man. A t-shirts design, some tank tops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it is located on Shopify.
As Joey mentioned, we got a couple different designs. So, guys, take a look. You know, let us know what you think. Check it out. Buy a shirt. Support the show.
But, yeah, the Haitian president seemingly, not seemingly, I mean, he was assassinated.
Yeah, he's
in the middle of the night at like 1 a.m., have you...
So I heard about this. You know, he got assassinated. I mean, obviously, if any political figure gets assassinated, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But I was also like, I don't know enough about Haiti to be like, was he advocating for something that was like revolutionary? Or like,
yeah,
did he just owe money to the wrong people? You know, yeah. And like DR was like, we're going to fuck this guy up, you know, or like, what was going on?
I know just from what I've read, and I know about Haiti. Obviously, I know about Haiti. It's a country, but I know about dealings with them with the Clinton Foundation, and they've had, some people have said,
okay,
the Clinton Foundation works with human traffickers.
In Haiti?
Yeah, in Haiti, and takes kids and whatever the fuck.
Oh,
and,
shit.
We haven't even gone to Adrenochrome. You don't want to know what I think about that.
Wait.
And I don't want to tell you what that is. Do you not know about Adrenochrome?
I don't
know. Let me stray way the fuck off topic, people. So Adrenochrome...
Wait, hold on. So I saw a South Park episode.
Yes. And they're making fun of QAnon, kind of.
But yeah, and it was like there was something that like the wealthy politicians are like drinking the blood of children for this specific...
It's an age-old thing. It's been around forever. I feel like South Park does some stuff where it's like, where do you hide something that's very important to you? You hide it in plain sight, right?
Yeah.
Because like that's, no one's going to look at it there.
Wait, so this South Park thing is a real thing?
Well, it's a topic of discussion in the conspiracy community. Whether it's real or not, that's up for people to debate. But Adrenochrome is basically this like very potent part of someone's blood that is derived from only frightening them, and you like you get it from their blood. But it's focused on little kids.
Okay.
So like these elites supposedly have all these kids like child sex slaves and whatever.
Yeah.
They scare the shit out of them. They extract Adrenochrome from them. It keeps them young. It keeps them beautiful. All that stuff. So that's like a big part of the whole satanic worship.
Okay.
You know, Hollywood politicians, whatever.
Yeah.
Powerful people. But anyway.
See, I saw the South Park episode, but I thought they were just like making shit up.
No,
but
that's a real thing. And it's been in a lot of movies. It's been in a lot of texts from like ancient, like historical times about Adrenochrome and like the blood of kids and shit keeps them young.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's pretty heavy. But anyway, the whole assassination thing of the president of Haiti, Jovenel Moïse, which I hope I say his name right. There's a lot of people saying that it has ties to the Clinton Foundation, which obviously a lot of people are going to say that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was a ton of people speaking English that were caught on this video
because
he was killed in the capital. His house is like in the capital of Port-au-Prince.
Right.
People heard Americans. They said it was a DEA operation, but then there was 15 Colombians captured.
That's weird.
This is really strange. So you had Spanish-speaking people, English-speaking people, English-speaking Colombians on like this raid of some sort. And from what I can see, I mean, who the fuck knows? I mean, it's still too early to tell.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if he rejected some sort of political thing, because I know the DNC propped up the president previous to him in Haiti. And, you know, he did his bidding. But then that president propped this guy up, Jovenel Moïse.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he strayed off of...
Oh, so
left field and didn't want to do what he... Because a lot of, like, I know Haiti's not in Africa, but there's a lot of African leaders, like the Tanzanian president. There's a few others that rejected the whole COVID narrative and didn't want the vaccine. We're like, whatever, if you believe this really happened, we still want to do research. They've been knocked off left and right. So I don't know if it has something to do with that. Right now, I mean, it literally happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't really, like, base anything on that. But my tinfoil hat's on. I'm ready to learn.
you know, as always, I'm kind of like, well, what's the angle? What's the motive? Right. Like, what is there to gain or to lose by either having this guy alive or having him dead?
Yeah.
You know, to know, like, why is this guy...
Who is?
Yeah, who is this dude?
I need to talk to them.
Like, I haven't heard about him before, yeah. You know, 2 days ago. Like,
yeah.
I was just browsing on Reddit, and I saw, like, you know, Haitian president assassinated. I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on. Like, some countries, not naming any names, have, you know... It kind of changed governments, you know, to make them more favorable to themselves and a couple yeah. other people. And, you know, it's not unheard of that the military in certain countries kind of, you know, does a little thing to tip the scales of power in their favor. So, yeah, they're, who knows what the hell is going on here, you know?
It was a big operation, though. I mean, it was like 25 guys out there with like fucking M16s or whatever they're using. It's like,
but I mean, can't
creepy.
But I guess so. This is where I start thinking, right? Like, if you want to take out a president, like, wouldn't you? Like, why would you want that many? You know, shouldn't it be kind of like a quiet little operation?
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it.
Yeah,
because that shit was. There's literally a guy just out on his balcony, like, whoa. Holy shit.
World star!
Live leak! I don't know, dude. I mean, who the hell knows anymore? I don't trust much of what I hear anymore, yeah. So I don't know.
It's
I just strange. Know the Clintons have a big body list, so...
I mean, they gotta get up to something after...
The Seth Rich one. Have you heard of the Seth Rich thing?
You gotta enlighten me.
So he's the guy who leaked a bunch of the DNC's emails. John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. like the WikiLeaks guy.
Okay.
Right? So he was about to leak a bunch more,
mm-hmm.
and he's in Washington, and he gets murdered, which he was murdered. But they said it was a robbery, and mm-hmm. no one took any of his shit. He's in a Mercedes, no wallets taken, no yeah. anything's taken. The day before, he's about to release a bunch of info on the... It's just like... I mean, come on.
Should have gave it to Assange, man.
You shouldn't have said anything, Seth. Don't... Yeah. I don't know what he did, but... Honestly, it's just like... It's just too much to even... I was telling my wife the other night. I was like, I don't even want to be a politician. Like, you either get blackmailed, you get too big to where someone's got so much shit on you. If you screw up one time and don't do what the lobbyist said or this prime minister tells you to, it's like, who you're fucked. You know what I mean?
So I can kind of, I can see where you're coming from, but I think there is like a little bit of hope there. So I think federal level, yeah, just completely pass on that. Cause you're
corrupted.
You're going to get you're going to get the lobbyists. You're going to get the soft money, the yeah. PACs. They're gonna be like, hey, you know, Joey, if you could just
do pass little, this bill really quick, yeah, just you, vote on it.
Just
that's all I'm asking.
Just consider it. And, you know, maybe your reelection fund might see a little benefit from it.
Maybe you'll finally get that Lamborghini Murcielago you always wanted. I don't know. Maybe for Christmas.
But I think where politicians can be effective is local government. Like, that's where I see...
Yeah, but that's just where they start. Everyone starts locally.
Do they, though?
And then they start banging hookers, and then one day they're the president.
I mean, like, there's got to be... Like, is there really nobody who's just out there trying to make a difference?
They don't get far enough. Anyone who ever tries to bring us together gets killed, number one.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, history has shown us that, right? Like, you get leaders who are for the people, like, purely for the people, and they're just getting capped. I mean, look at JFK.
He's yeah.
gunned down.
JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X.
Yeah.
I love Malcolm. I liked a lot of what he said. I feel like he spoke a lot of truth. I mean, he was a bit of borderline extreme.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I agreed. It was like, I understood what he was saying.
So I think Malcolm X is an interesting one, right? Because he took a very different approach than MLK.
Yeah.
Right? MLK was like,
we're together on the mountaintop.
Exactly.
And Malcolm X is like, fuck everyone else.
Fuck them.
Yeah. He's like, and he didn't like liberals, by the way.
Yeah.
Malcolm X said white liberals were the issue with the African American population. They were the ones, they were the racist ones.
Malcolm X was like, we're gonna do some shit.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna
I don't give a fuck what you think.
So, but the interesting thing to me about his story is, like, he had, you know, obviously very passionate about his beliefs. And I'm going to be controversial here, and I would say he even wandered into racist territory. You know, like, there was, like, a hatred.
Well, he was anti-Semitic, too, right? I mean, he didn't like Jews and Western media. He always despised it.
But even, so, yes, definitely that. But I think also when you look at his viewpoints on people who just weren't black at all, right? Like, he took a very extreme stance. And so I would even say, I don't know, like, is it hate? Maybe. I don't know. It could be.
Maybe, but I think in that time period, with all the shit going on today, and I mean, I get that I'm a white guy, but I just feel like at this time and period, anyone can accomplish anything. There's always going to be racism.
Yeah.
There's always going to be some asshole who's a dick to this person because of skin color, religion, race, creed, sexual orientation, whatever the fuck. But at that time, I feel like Malcolm X had every reason to be pissed off at what he was seeing in the streets.
Agreed. Because I think it was much more, it was an everyday thing.
Yeah.
And he was like seeing
you would see it. Literally, you couldn't go in the same bathroom as a white guy.
Exactly.
So that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's not right.
But I think, so the interesting thing to me about his story is that at the very, not like the end of his life, but I guess it was kind of towards the end of his life, right? He went to Mecca, you know, and he had this enlightenment. He had this epiphany, and it was like unity. You know, he was like, we are all brothers and sisters, you know? And a lot of people didn't like that message. They wanted, you know, Old Testament
Malcolm. You ain't my brother.
Exactly.
Let me tell you.
they wanted the fire and brimstone, you know, like, we're gonna, you know, get in the streets and, like, do some shit.
That was a wild time back then. Oh, shit was literally on fire every day.
I mean, I just, it's so, in one sense, it's hard to imagine, but in the other sense, it's not, you know?
Anyway, we're actually going to do something kind of cool in our little off-season, short though it may be. We're going to do a local Austin, you know, as you guys know, we're doing reviews of local Austin eateries and restaurants. We try to hit a different country every week. Now that the first season is coming to a cap, we're actually going to do a burger ranking and burger review of Austin. So we're going to try some well-known ones, but we're also going to go dive deep, and we're going to find some ones that you may or may not know. It depends. New people are moving to Austin every day, so they may know it. You may have lived here for 15 years. Take it easy. We're still going to review it, but that's going to be a part of our thing, and we're also wanting to not just get audio recording, but we're going to do visual, too. So we're going to actually go in these places, do a video review of these different burger places. It'll be a little part of our little break.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I'm excited to do it. You know, obviously, Texas is big burger town.
Yes, sir.
So we got to, we're going to be we're going to be trying all the fan favorites, the local places, you know. And hey, if you listeners have a spot, you know, you think is really worth checking out, maybe a hidden gem local spot, hit us up on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on all the socials. You know, let us know. Hey, we're going after the best burgers in Austin. So let us know, you know, if there's a place we need to check out.
And we love to hear from our fans. Unlike Joe Rogan, who's too big to talk to his people, okay? All 50 of our listeners, you can talk to us anytime. Suck on that, Joe. Anyway. So, Vlad, speaking of Austin restaurants, we tried out and we spun our, what was that, the wheel of countries to try out different foods? We landed on Ethiopia.
Oh, yeah.
Which we've both had Ethiopian food before when you guys lived in Chicago.
Yeah.
We visited you guys. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, every place is probably a little different.
Yeah, it's got a little twist to it.
But we landed on Ethiopia for Austin. We went to a restaurant called Habesha.
Yeah, we went to
Habesha this week
off of, what is that, I-35 and 290. Got a little Ethiopian, you know, a little injera action going on. And for you listeners at home, if you've never tried Ethiopian food, I highly recommend it. And the reason why, actually, is because it's really well seasoned. Like, there's, if you get, you know, the usual meat kind of stuff, chicken, beef, lamb, whatever, whatever, you know, it's going to come in the sauce. It's got the seasoning. It's got the spices. But even if you're vegetarian, you know, some of you folks out there, you might be a little vegan. You might be a little, you know, doing a paleo thing. You know, bikini season. It's summertime. Mm-hmm. So Habesha's got you covered. You know, they've got lentils and beans and greens and all that fun stuff. And it is delicious.
Because it's pretty much, it's this big, round, like, spongy bread. And yeah. they put all these different stews on it. So it's like everything's separate. It almost looks like, you know, every color's represented. Okay. It's like diversity. But no, everything was so good. You could tell they knew what they were doing. It was like a legit operation going on. But just like the steak, I mean, they had the steak, they had the lentils, they had the, like, I think it was like carrots and...
Yeah, it was like carrots and potatoes.
Yeah, like almost like a mash. So it just almost tastes like a mashed potato, pretty much.
Yeah.
But the bread is amazing. It's very filling. Everything was cooked perfectly. They also have the, God damn it, it's the, not Samoas. Janelle said it 800 times today.
It's not Sambuca.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
Oh, man.
Fuck, we're so...
We should have written this down.
Uncultured swine!
But there's a Ethiopian version of a samosa, and it comes in two varieties. So you can get like a beef one, you know, obviously, which has meat, or you can get a lentil one. And, you know, it's flaky on the outside. It's got delicious goodness on the inside. And it actually comes with this little green kind of, you know, almost like a spicy chimichurri sauce.
Yeah,
you know, you
can just kinda, like a little relish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drizzle a little of that bad boy on there.
I could have just ate 10 of those. Probably called it a day.
Oh, yeah.
Make one big hot pocket. Ethiopian hot pocket. No, the food was awesome. Like, honestly, recommend it to anyone. Again, it's called Habesha. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Vlad? It's really good. And you know what, guys? If you haven't tried Ethiopian food, shame on you. Okay? Shame on you. Stop going to Whataburger. Try you some Ethiopian food, all right? Oh, and another good thing was we ate for four people, had food left over. It was like, what, $55?
Yeah.
So, super cost effective.
Oh, yeah. So prices... Price is really reasonable.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's one of those things you do want to eat with, you know, a group of people.
Yeah.
Just because of the amount of food that you get. And you can try a little bit of everything, you know. You, like, you can do the meat stuff. You can do the veggie stuff. And it's even, like, if you want to, like, so traditionally I think the Ethiopians eat with their hands. So they tear off a little bit of the bread, scoop up some of the meat, you know. Like, you don't have to do that if you don't want to, but you can.
You can get real nitty gritty. No, it was good. I don't know what my favorite food has been so far. Spanish food was great. Ethiopian food was...
We could roll the wheel one day and get American, and then we can do Wendy's.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I would love Wendy's. Or Chili's.
Oh.
Southwest egg rolls.
Got to be the original on 45th Street.
Yeah. Oh, I'm down. Yeah, that's the one right there on the corner.
Yep. Frosty Margs.
Yeah. Terrible Frosty Margs. Just all mix. Chili's has gone downhill, man. Those chicken crispers, used to love them. They're tiny.
So what's your go-to? They used to
be tenders. Now they're literally crispers. You know, they're supposed to be something different.
All you just get is the chicken skin. That's it. There's no chicken.
It's just crispy chicken skin. what I get there all the time is the chicken crispers and the Southwest egg or the triple dipper.
But what's your... So because they've, like, downsized their portions, are you, like, leaning more towards, like, a TGI Fridays kind of thing?
No, I just don't go to any of those places anymore.
Really?
Never.
Wow.
I'm over it. Because I used to like TGI Fridays, too.
Oh,
Applebee's. Man. Applebee's was always kind of shit,
yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
I remember they had the all-you-can-eat riblets.
Mm-hmm.
Just that word, riblets.
Riblets.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I don't make that a promotion.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
That just sounds like a dog food or something, riblets. So, I don't know. It sounds like the bacon. What was the dog's food? The bacon.
Baconator?
No, god damn it. Bacon.
Bacon, egg, and
bacon
cheese.
Strips.
Oh, bacon strips. Yeah,
that's
like
what I think of when I hear, like, riblets. So, just thinking of, like, bacon strips. And, like, a
I mean, but what is a terrier. Riblet even? You know?
Yeah. But Applebee's actually, okay, I'm lying here. The last time I was at Applebee's, I was coming back from Texas State. Stopped there because I had a gift card and ate some boneless buffalo wings. It was great, dude. They were great.
Okay, so I got to ask
Kyle.
Hold on. I got to ask you this then. What's your go-to for wings?
Boneless.
No, I mean, like, which restaurant? Because you got B-Dubs, you've got Chili's, you've got Pluckers.
I would say Wingstop.
Wingstop, oh, my man.
Dude, by far. Put it there. It's not even close either. Wingstop always.
Let the
never lets me down. Always has the good. And I get the, I was just talking about this to someone else. The fucking fries
with
the sugar.
Yes.
And the cheese. Do you do the cheese sauce?
I don't do the cheese sauce. Son of a.
No, we got to do the cheese sauce.
But
I dip my wings in the cheese sauce. You shouldn't even put flavor on my wings because I'm dipping that shit in that cheese.
You're a madman! Yeah,
I'm a crazy bastard. That's why my cholesterol's all high.
I'm willing to try it, though. I'm willing to, you know, try it at least once.
It's, you know, it's not that fake
the nacho,
like, nacho cheese.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
You ever see in the cafeteria the lunch lady pull out the, like, 128-ounce
packet?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the good stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wings are, I mean, what's your, so Wingstop is your obvious.
Wingstop, oh yeah.
It's the best.
So, there are two things that I get at Wingstop. I always get the same two flavors. I get the original hot, and I get.
That's the best. Oh, I love the original hot.
It's a staple. It's a classic. Yeah. Like, you can't mess it up, and it's so good. Like,
I'm going to, okay, so on your second favorite flavor,
mm-hmm.
we're going to say it on three.
Okay.
If. Something happens here. We say the same. We're going to get wings.
Let's do it.
Is it too late?
No, this is still open. It's Friday night.
Okay. One, two. Garlic lemon parmesan. Pepper. Oh, shit! Wait, I think it is lemon pepper. Honestly, I don't think I like the garlic parm. The lemon pepper are really good, though.
Yeah.
God damn it, I fucked that up. No, those are good. Either way, garlic parm's good, too. But the lemon pepper... I definitely get the regular hot because you have to.
Yeah.
Anything after that is kind of a little too.
So
it's not because I like hot, but yeah. It's too vinegary.
So I've tried one thing that's hotter than the original hot. So there's the Atomic, and this was like back in the day. So that shit has like the peppercorns on it, and it's like.
So it's really hot.
You smell it, and like I smelled it, and my nose was like. Torn up.
See, that's what I don't like because I love chicken. Yeah. So when my chicken is too hot to even like enjoy,
yeah,
like, I just wasted money. I'm going to have a burning asshole and I'm not happy. So
yeah.
It's like three of my worst fears.
It's not enjoyable. Like, don't get the Atomic. It's not
fun.
No, it's not. Because wings is like, you get it, you know, you're chilling, you're
succulent,
watching a game,
juicy.
You're doing something.
Yeah.
You're having a good time. Fun Atomic time. Is just going to fuck your shit.
And you're always drinking beer eating wings. So you can't be eating the fucking Atomic.
No.
But I've had the Hawaiian. Those are gross.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep trying. I've tried them like five times. They're so weird and too sweet, but bitter and orangey, and it's just gross.
Have you tried there's like a Korean... something
like a Korean barbecue or
I think
something?
So
well I love Korean barbecue,
but
that's
this,
like I think one of my favorite unsung heroes of the culinary world.
Oh yeah,
it's just like something about it. Those fucking people can cook. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you fucking people. Those people, they are fucking though.
Swear jar.
Swear jar. No, those people know how to cook, man.
So if you ever want to do Korean barbecue at home, pro tip, go to H-Mart. Get yourself a, you know, a little, I think it's a propane burner for like $20, $30. And you can actually get a little metal dome, you know, put on top of that thing. And H-Mart actually sells the pre-marinated cuts of meat. So you can just do it right at home.
No, wait, what's H-Mart? H-E-B?
Bro.
Wait.
Bro.
I'm struggling.
Bro. Okay. So H-Mart is this, is it Korean? I think it is Korean. We got to fact check this.
Oh!
The Korean supermarket.
I've seen that. It's here.
Yes.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I've seen it. Okay. Holy shit. I figured that's what you meant.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big place.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah. It's like their own Fiesta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can get, like, you can get groceries there. You can buy cookware. You can buy, like, 20-pound bags of rice.
Actual real Korean, like, import shit.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the real shit. Like. Yeah. And so they even have, like, marinated, you know, you can get bulgogi to just toss on the grill.
I love bulgogi. I've had that. That's actually really good shit.
It,
that steak or whatever.
Yeah. Man, there's we got to do a Korean barbecue night.
Yeah, what the fuck are we doing? We had Russian food, for fuck's sake. Well, we couldn't have done Korean. We could have corrupted that spin we did. Just said, hey, guys, we landed on Korea.
Uh-oh.
Oopsies. Yeah, fuck. I don't think we've ever had that here.
Yeah, I mean, Korean barbecue, man. That is, It's so good.
They know, but like, so I have one of my professors for, I'm taking international marketing right now. It's like the last, I'm like on the cusp of being done.
Yeah.
He's South Korean, the professor. I think his name's like Taiwan Su. Mm-hmm. Sorry if I butcher that, but you know, it's international marketing, so it's a lot of like, you know, he obviously is South Korean, so he talks about Japan and South Korea, North Korea, all their food. Mm-hmm. But he said in South Korea it has the best fried chicken.
Yeah,
and that's not the first person I heard that from. Mm-hmm. But he's like, on every corner there's a fried chicken place.
Yeah,
like a private, you know, owned business. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. And then he showed us videos on it, and it was like, holy shit, that looks really good.
Yeah. It's surprising, right? Because, like, I would think that it would be more of, like, an American thing at the top.
Yeah.
But, again, H Mart has...
They have that?
They have Korean fried chicken.
It's already made?
Oh, so it's not for sale. They have... Oh. Yeah, they have restaurants inside of H Mart.
No kidding.
Yeah. So you can get, like... You can pick it up there. They've also got... there's an Austin restaurant.
Dude, we have to do this.
Done. Let's do it.
I'm doing it right now. I don't even care anymore. I'm done with this podcast.
Podcast over.
Sorry, peeps. I'm out.
And there's another place too. I think it's called Dak in Austin that they do Korean fried chicken. So it's, yeah. I mean, there's, look. You want to talk about food? I mean, this is.
You go. Well, what's the last like restaurant you guys have been here? Like, say newish or
last newish restaurant
that you hadn't tried, whether it's a new establishment or not, just something new.
So I'm trying to think. We went to actually it was a Korean place off of 35 over by Link, and that one was really good. I think it was like Chosun Galbi or something like that. That was pretty good. And there was a spot we went to downtown, but I can't remember the name of it. That's really good. I keep a list on Google Maps of like places I want to check out. There's a shit ton.
What's the most expensive place? Was it Uchiko? Is it Uchi or Uchiko?
So it's both.
There, really?
Yeah, there's an Uchi.
What a smug asshole. Just kidding.
there's an Uchi and there's an Uchiko. And like, so here's the thing I'll say about those two. It is pricey. Like, there's no question.
There's
about
no getting
it.
Around it.
No, you're gonna empty your wallet.
Easy $200.
That's on discount night.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
But here's the thing. So for me, I'm like, I saw the bill and I was just like, Jesus Christ, mother of God. But here's the thing. I cannot make any of that food myself. Like,
but was it the best sushi you've ever had? Because I guarantee you, you've never spent that much at a sushi place.
But it's more than sushi, though. That's the thing. Like, it's kind of like sushi plus culinary gastronomy. And then, like, super high-quality ingredients. And it's, like, the whole experience. So it's really, like, a high-end thing that's very hard to replicate. Mm. So it's really, like, I would say that's, like, special occasion. You know, it's not something that you can easily kind of do.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to do for sushi, though. I've heard this from multiple people. There's a market. There's a fish market in Tokyo, Japan. And if you go there around, you know, I think it's 3 or 4 a.m., you get the freshest catch. Like, the fishermen have just come back, and there's a restaurant inside the fish market. So you go, and you pick out which fish you want, 4 a.m. in the morning, and you tell the chefs, like, hey, you know, here's, I just got this, you know, just purchased this thing, here's what I want to do. Or you just leave it up to them. You do it omakase. You tell them, hey, look, chef's choice. Mm-hmm. You do the thing, I just
do
want
it
to
up.
Eat it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
damn. It's beautiful.
But it requires going to Japan. So.
Well, yeah, that's a little more pricey than Uchiko.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Uchiko is probably half of that ticket.
Yeah.
For two people.
But, you know, dude, this is one thing I've been thinking about. You know, they have, what is it, Scott's Cheap Flights? Mm-hmm. Where that guy just sends out a newsletter and he's like, oh, hey, you know, we found this ticket to Japan for like $400, but you got to leave like tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's like...
At 2 a.m.
Exactly. But it's only like $99 a month or something like that. So I'm like, you know, at that price, you could just get like 5 friends and it's $20 each. And the email goes to one person.
But is it like a ticket for only one person, or it's like multiple tickets for one plane?
So here's how it works. Basically, you're not paying for a ticket with the service. You're paying for some guy to be like, hey, there's a
flight. An alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
but
like,
there will be like so but my point is like you go in on it with friends. Mm-hmm. Will there be enough tickets for all your friends if, like, just a ticket comes out of nowhere if you're all subscribing?
You know? I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm guessing there probably would be, right?
I would think so.
If it's, like, so random.
But I think the thing is you just have to move quick on it.
Yeah. And then I guess if the friends can't make it, then they go on the next one.
Yeah. You
know? Next alert. Sorry, you're going to Kiev.
In Mother Russia.
You go to Ukraine.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, that's just one of those things I was thinking about. Because people are like, yeah, I went to Italy for like $400. And I'm just like, Like,
I left on a Tuesday, came back that Thursday. It was great.
Super quick.
Spent one day in Milan.
Touchdown, got right back on the plane, came right back.
$2,000 at the Gucci store and had to come back. It was great. Saved a lot of money.
Fantastic.
Fan-fucking-tastic, Karen. Yeah, that's pretty interesting, though. Because I know Google Flights does that, too, right? Like, you can go on Google Flights, find, like, really cheap, random-ass flights. So, but you know what, guys? I think that's going to do it for us. Again, we want to say thank you so much to our viewers of this first season. This is our first 10 episodes. We didn't skip a beat ever recording. We had really, really hardworking people with us. And by that, I mean Natalia and Janelle, who are our wives. They kicked ass. They edited everything. They did all the promotions. They did all the social media posts. Them and Vlad, I'm lucky to have you, man. This was a lot of fun, dude. I got to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's honestly really easy talking to you, man. I'm really happy we gave this shit a go.
It's been a good experience, you know. I mean, definitely big, big shout out to our wives who have been, you know, working hard behind the scenes, doing the social media promotion, doing the editing, you know, making this podcast available to you listeners, doing all the analytics. You know, they're really the unsung heroes.
Oh, folks. Yeah.
Like, they are putting in hours behind the scenes to make this podcast a reality. So big thanks, big shout out to them. And also to you listeners, too. You know, we started episode one, put a little promo up, you know, and here we are 10 episodes later, finishing up season one. You know, it's been an adventure. It's been a journey. And I also, too, am really glad that we did this, Joey. It's very easy talking to you. You know, we're talking about a lot of different things.
Guys, thank you again. This is our last episode of the first season of I Deny. I'm Joey.
I'm Vlad.
And we'll see you guys in September. Not too far away, guys. So, see you then.
See you.